We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky, and I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark. I'm coming to you from beautiful St. Louis, Missouri, where I serve as pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church.
And this is another episode of Wrestling with the Basics. So, Matt, I hate to do this again. In fact, it seems like we're doing this more and more. I have to go back. I have to go back to an episode we did a couple of weeks ago because, again, I made a mistake, Matt.
That's okay, John. We all make mistakes.
Well,
especially if you're on Wrestling with the Basics.
Well, that's true.
Maybe our listeners are patient with us, I'm sure.
Well, the thing that worries me is, you know, I'm an old man now. I'm not young anymore. And, of course, you begin to wonder, maybe is the mind beginning to fail? You know, maybe that's a little bit decline in the intellect because, like I said, this has been happening fairly frequently recently. So I expressed my concerns to my wife, Lynn, and, you know, she's such a lovely woman. She looks at me and says, oh, no, John, you were always that way.
You've always been like this.
Yeah, that's right. It's nothing new. It has nothing to do with your old age.
I tell my wife that too, Lisa. I said, you know, I forget whatever I go. Now, Lisa, just remember, it's not dementia. I've always been like this.
That's right. And isn't it nice to have a wife that comforts you that way?
Thanks, dear.
yeah, you've always been a dummy, honey. So anyway, here's the mistake. I tell you what. Can you do me a favor, Matt? Could you read the whole story?
Sure, John. Where are we at?
I'm trying to remember.
So we're...
Again, maybe it is the old age.
Are we in the old age. Mark 7? Is that,
yeah, verse
is that where
31,
we're at?
31 to the end of that story about the man who was deaf and had a speech impediment.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. So Mark 7... let's see here.
Dear listener, please bear with us. We couldn't get the computers to work this morning. They have a whole brand new interface for the program we use, and so it took me almost 15 minutes to find the button for record, which you would think would be a prominent button on the screen, but no. It's not that way. I'm sorry, Matt. Do you have it there?
Thanks for stalling for me, John. Yeah. So Mark 7, verses 31 to 32. Is that what you want?
Go to the end of the story.
Go to the end of the story. Okay, begin with verse 31. Yeah. Okay, I got it. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee and in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him and take him aside from the crowd privately. He put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up into heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And his ears were open. His tongue was released and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.
So this is the story we featured 2 weeks ago. But here's the mistake I made. You'll notice that the text begins with them saying that they came and they begged Jesus. And so we talked about this. I'd done a word study on the term begged. And I thought that there was something significant about these people, something that made them different because they begged to Jesus. Because I noticed a pattern in the Gospel of Mark that this seemed to be a really special word. It seems like Jesus treated people differently when they came and they begged him. And so, Matt, have you still been, I know the Bible searching Olympics doesn't come up for another few years, but have you been training? Are you still training for that,
Matt? My fingers are poised, John, yes.
Because Well, we just haven't talked about that, I think, for a while, that Matt is actually an Olympic Bible looker-upper. And now I understand the computers are giving you a lot of trouble now because they're super quick, but you're almost as fast as what a computer can do, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, the AI just changed the world of competitive Bible verse looking up. It really is.
Yeah, but that's cheating. AI, yeah.
No, that's out of bounds. So we're just talking about, you know, old-fashioned Bible looking up.
So that's right. Old-fashioned Bible.
Good paper Bible, John.
All right. So I'm going to throw some passages out to you, and if you can give them to us, that would be really helpful. So people can see how it was an honest mistake. That's all I'm saying. It was an honest mistake. And normally, of course, we tell people not to try to do this at home because, man, if you're not trained, if you haven't been preparing, you can get some nasty paper cuts, can't you, Matt?
Right. That's right. It's a hazard of the sport, John.
Yeah. Well, you probably remember from when you were a beginner how that would be. Your fingers would just be all bloody.
Rookie mistakes.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they might be able to follow along this time because we're just going to stay with one book of the Bible. Yeah. That's how you begin, isn't it? With one book, and then
That's
you
right.
move to one Testament, and then you do the whole thing. Well, all right, enough of this.
We usually play Eye of the Tiger in the background, and I practice, and then...
That's right. You need that
years of training.
Inspirational music.
Me and Rocky.
Right now, people are saying, are they going to talk about anything that's worthwhile talking about? All right, so here we go. Let's start right away. Are you ready? Okay. Just so people see how I made this mistake. Mark 1:40, if you could read that.
Okay.
40:41.
Mark 1, here we are, verse 40. And a leper came up to him, begging him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean."
And so see again, some extra details there. Jesus actually talks to the man, says, "I will be clean." He stretches out his hand and touches him. All right, Mark 5:22-23.
Here we go. Okay. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, fell at his feet and begged him, there we go again, earnestly saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be well, made well and live." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James.
So again, a little different extra detail, the fact that this was kept private. Only the closest disciples were able to see that. All right, ready? Mark 8:22.
All right, here we go. And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." And Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly.
And can you see where I would have made a mistake? Because in each instance, it was like Jesus did more than just say, "Poof, you're healed." But he would touch them. He would have extra things. He would talk to them. And so I thought, well, okay, so that's the thing. There's a difference between the people that beg and the people that don't beg. I was thinking back to those 10 lepers. There was a difference, right? There was 9 of them that were healed, but there was one who came back to Jesus and praised God at his feet. However, as I did a little more study, I realized I was absolutely wrong. Okay. Now you haven't, your fingers aren't hurting now, are
no,
they?
No, I stretched before the show, John.
Okay. So one final passage to show that I was mistaken. There wasn't anything special about the people that begged. So if you could please read Mark 6:56.
All right, Mark 6:56. And wherever Jesus came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many touched it, were made well.
So again, here we have people begging, but mm-hmm. Jesus doesn't do anything special. He doesn't talk to them. He doesn't do extra actions. In fact, they just touch his garment and they're healed. Here's the one that really convinced me, though.
Oh, yeah.
Mark 5:12, we'll be done with our study of begging.
Yeah, here we go. Mark 5. And they begged Jesus, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them."
So who's talking there, Matt?
So this is the demons.
The
right?
demons.
Yeah.
So I apologize for misleading people. And I know this may seem like, oh, this is some obscure thing that people that are getting into the Greek are interested in. But no, it occurred to me there's a really important point here. Because if it's true that there's something within us, and then Jesus takes the extra steps, and Jesus has more than heal, but he does these things, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, in order that we might believe in him, that we might have faith, like that one leper, fall at his knees and praise God. If that's what it's about, if God sees something special in us, and then he does this extra thing for us, well, then we'll never have comfort, because we'll be constantly asking ourselves, well, do I still have that special stuff? Have I lost that special stuff? And the thing is we won't have comfort when we need it the most, when we're feeling fear, or we're feeling depressed, or we're feeling doubt. Because in those situations, we might likely think, oh, whatever that special thing is that motivated Jesus to do something extra for me, apparently that's gone. It occurred to me that we really need to help our people understand, no, there's only one reason that God does good stuff for us, because he loves us. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. That's the only reason he does it. It's totally outside of us. And therefore, no matter what we're experiencing, no matter what troubles we might have within our mind or in our flesh, we can say, okay, that doesn't determine God's love and care for me. No, that is determined purely by God's grace and mercy itself. Any thoughts about that, Matt?
Yeah, John. It is just Jesus' mercy, right? You know, his divine goodness and mercy that he does anything for us. You know, that I would agree. Jesus kind of just heals people how he wants to heal them, it seems to me.
Yeah.
And sometimes it serves a teaching purpose, perhaps. I think of the blind man, the deaf man, the way in which he does things that, especially this example from Mark 7, where he's deaf, you know, he does these things that a deaf person would see and would realize that, yeah, Jesus is at work here. He kind of meets the man where he is, right, and does very tactile things. And then also, you know, with the disciples being able to view Jairus' daughter being raised, a teaching opportunity there. So, you know, Jesus knows best, I guess, is the bottom line. And when he does heal with in a special way, rather than just immediately, it was for a purpose. Maybe that purpose is to strengthen faith.
Right. And no doubt, when Jesus does these extra things, he's doing it because of his love for the person. And
yes,
I think you got a good point. This is a deaf man, and so Jesus has some different things he does for the benefit of the deaf man. We got the same thing with the story of the blind man you read there in Mark 8. The same thing, you know. And isn't that incredible? He doesn't heal him right away. He puts the spit on his eyes again. That's an extra thing. And yet that doesn't do it. So he comes back to him again. But it's how he works with us too, Matt. Sometimes my problems go away right away. In fact, sometimes God just likes to laugh at me and say, you know, John, you like to worry. I hope you grasp that. It's not that I'm not doing my job, God says. It's just built into your sinful flesh that mm-hmm. you worry. And oftentimes he'll do that. In fact, I won't even get through the morning and whatever I'm worried about will be gone. You know?
Yeah.
And then other times, he kind of makes me sweat it out a little bit. I suppose, you know what would happen if every time I worried and God immediately took away the reason for my worry? You know who'd take credit, don't you?
Yeah, probably us. Probably
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Yeah, look how good I am at overcoming my fear. And God says, no, you're not good at overcoming your fear at all. I can overcome your fear. But like I said to Paul, sometimes you need to know my grace is sufficient for you. That's all you really need. Because honestly, if you're going to base your faith in God on what happens to you day in and day out, there's going to come a time when you won't have any faith at all, because things are going to happen and they're not going to be resolved quickly. And we all know that. We all know we've come into situations of illness or the loss of a family member, someone we love, you know, yeah. So that's the reality of the world. And Jesus Christ is always the same yesterday and today and forever. So anyway, my apologies if I misled anyone. And it really is a big issue. It does divide the churches. I get a sense a lot of times that in the Protestant churches, they talk about needing faith, but it's almost like faith is some inner quality within us, that mm-hmm. God sees this quality within us, and therefore he does. But that's what you don't have enough faith, otherwise Jesus would heal you, like it was something in us. The Roman Catholics actually have established it, gratia infusa. They actually have a term for it. And again, it's this thing that God plants inside of you and everything. And you know, I love our Protestant friends, and I love my Roman Catholic friends. But if you really think that through, you realize, gosh, that's hardly any comfort at all then, if there's something inside of me. Because the truth of Scripture is, no, faith is Jesus. It's everything that's outside of us. It's the fact that there's a God who loves us despite we are sinners from birth. A God who loves us enough that he would die for us, which again is totally outside of us. And that's the reason we can come to the throne of grace with confidence, Paul tells us, because we know Jesus Christ has taken care of anything that might have divided us from our Heavenly Father. So anyway, any final comment about the word beg? And then there's a couple of other things that I didn't get wrong, but I didn't get a chance to mention.
Yeah, I would just affirm what you said, John, that, you know, if it's a matter of our faith and the strength of faith, that's what causes God to heal us, right? That's you're in dangerous territory because, you know, what about when that healing doesn't happen? You know, you're suffering because you don't believe hard enough. And that does not bring any comfort to that individual Christian. That doesn't bring any comfort to their family members either, right? People can be manipulated even when that claim's being made. You need to believe harder, you need to do this or that, or whatever the case might be. It's not about us going up to God, right, through our strength of faith or good works or anything else, but it's about Jesus coming down to us. And that's what Jesus' ministry is all about. The Son of God descends, becomes one of us, takes on our flesh, meets people where they're at, as in, he did in all these examples. He comes to them, he comes to us. And what a comfort to have a Savior who does that.
So let's go on to a couple other details that were in that text. Again, Matt, are you ready? Because I'm going to make you go to another passage now, okay? Well, actually, no, I'm not.
We've been in Mark. Are we venturing out of Mark, John?
Well, let's go back to Mark 7.
Okay.
But then I'm going to make you jump to another passage. Read again what Jesus does specifically for that man who is deaf and dumb. Can you read the exact things he does for that man when he takes him aside?
Yeah, good. So he takes him aside from the crowd privately and puts his fingers into his ears. After spitting, he touches his tongue, and then he looks up to heaven and sighs.
All right, stop right there. Those are the two things that I want to talk about. You hit him right on the head. He looks up to heaven, and he sighs, okay? What do you think the significance of him looking up into heaven is, Matt? How would you have dealt with that?
Yeah, well, I think, the source of where Jesus, where Jesus come from, right? Where the Father is, where his Father is. And as Jesus does the will of the Father, looks up into heaven, and then he also sighs. So again, I think these non-verbal things for a man who's deaf to show where glory is to be given. God gets the glory. So again, demonstrates that for the man and for those who are there with him.
So here's the thought I had. If all it was about was healing, and we've seen this from the various stories we read, all Jesus would need to do is touch the man touch him. Or as you pointed out, Jesus could have done it from a distance. That's what he did for the lepers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he didn't even need to, this guy didn't even need to come close to him.
Yeah.
And I agree with you too. I think it has to do with a man's deaf. So Jesus is working with his limitations, which I think is beautiful too. See, the guy that comes up, like you said earlier, and says, oh, you need more faith to be healed, that puts it on you. There's something wrong with you. Whereas if you read these stories, Jesus bends over backwards to work with a person, whatever their limitations would be. All right? So that's what I'm telling you. If your problem is you're not being healed because you don't have enough faith, Jesus will just give you the faith. You don't need to worry about that. Okay. If that's the problem, he'll give you the faith. And so with this deaf man, okay, I'll work with you. You got limitations. But I think the significance of looking up to heaven is because Jesus wants to do more than heal. He wants to give this man faith. And so what's the important thing you need to know about faith? Well, it's really the thing we've been hammering over and over here. That's got to come from above. That doesn't come from you. Mm-hmm. You can't do the faith thing. In fact, one of the classic lines from our Lutheran catechism is, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. I invite all of our listeners to go and think about that, because that's a powerful statement. Even faith isn't a work we perform. And now, are you ready there, Matt?
Yep.
Okay. Read what it says in Matthew 16 through 17.
All right, switching gospels. Got it. Matthew 16, verses 16 and 17. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven."
Yeah, yeah. So if you want faith, you're not going to be able to do that. No, that's got to be granted to you by who?
The Father in heaven.
Right. So I think that's why Jesus looks up into heaven to remind this man, Ryan, you and me, if faith is what you want, don't look inside of you. You won't find any faith there. In fact, isn't that cool? The essence of faith is to admit that there's nothing good in us, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were born in sin, and that's all we are. So it's funny. It's actually the opposite of what people think. Faith isn't a realization that we're going to do something. It's a realization that we can't do anything except acknowledge that we are sinners. And even that acknowledgement comes from the working of the Holy Spirit through the law. So I think, again, thank you, Jesus, for reminding us. And you know what's neat? Am I remembering correctly, Matt? Isn't it shortly after this that Jesus tells Peter that he must suffer and die, and Peter says, "This will never happen to you"?
Oh, just verses after this, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I was thinking. Because you guys are doing Matthew, aren't you? You're doing your namesake.
Yes, we are.
All right. Yep. I am so confused because I've been doing some preaching, but some people have the three-year lectionary, which you're using. Some people have the one-year lectionary, and so I get confused.
That's okay, sure John. You've always been that way.
Yeah, thank you. Just like my wife. Thank you. It's, you know, it's not only good to have a wife who reminds you of that, but friends too.
Yeah, we do what we can, John. You know, I also think of this whole looking up into heaven business.
Oh, yeah.
I think of Jesus' baptism, too, that the source of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit descends as a dove.
Yeah.
The voice that this is my beloved Son, right, that comes from heaven. So, again, you know, Jesus' disciples, if they witness this, Jesus looking up in heaven as he heals, you know, they might even think to themselves, "Well, here he goes again, looking up to heaven, something's coming out of heaven," you know. But again and again throughout Jesus' ministry, as you pointed out, the source of healing, the source of goodness, the source of faith is from the Father. It's from the Lord. And he's also, I think, you know, so the source of faith, that's important to recognize, but he's also the object of our faith, you know, that it's not just, he's not just giving us a generic faith that just kind of believes sincerely, but he also gives us his faith that sees him as the object of it, right? Jesus is the object of our faith. The Father is the object of our faith. That's who we look to for healing, for strength, for forgiveness, for all things.
And thank you for reminding us that. For us here at Wrestling with the Basics, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's the one that gives us. He's the one that we worship. And yeah, you're right. Our focus is completely on him because that's what faith is. Faith is Jesus. As Dr. Nagel said years ago, one of my mentors, and I know I've said this before, if you can't substitute the word Jesus, then you haven't got faith right. You've misunderstanding something about faith. Let's talk about size. You talked about that a moment ago. I'm going to give you another Bible passage. Oh, man, we're even moving outside the Gospels now, Matt. I know you haven't been doing this for a while. You sure you're up to this?
Okay.
Okay.
I might have to Might have to spread the Bengay on tonight, John.
That's right. When you haven't been doing it at all, it does. I know what you mean. The muscles.
At least for a massage. Okay. Here we go.
All right. Romans 8:26. We're looking for size.
Okay. Here we go. 8:26. Yeah. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we are to what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with, there's that word, sighs too deep for words.
Yeah, and boy, I didn't think about it, but that actually matches everything that we've said up to this point, that even our prayers are not something we can do by ourselves because we don't even know what to pray for. I don't know. Matt, what do you think? Any comments about that passage and about Jesus' sighing?
Well, yeah, well, what a comfort that is to me, because there are times when, yeah, maybe I don't know what to pray for, right? And certainly the Spirit always knows what's best to pray for. And so, especially when those times that we're in a loss for words and we come before the Lord, maybe in our deepest needs and in the darkest hour, what a comfort to know that, no, the Spirit's interceding for us with sighs too deep for words, right? He always is.
Yeah,
but I think that's especially a comfort during those times when we just don't have the right words to say.
And I think that reflects why Jesus sighs in this text. Because, you know, when this text is over, these men will say, oh, he does all things well. And I think Jesus realizes, oh, gentlemen, I haven't done all things well. You know, I've healed this man. That's a good thing. That's a blessing. I want to do that. I want to do good things, earthly things. But no, I haven't solved this man's problems at all. You know, he's going to get some other disability, some other illness. He's going to die. He's going to have all kinds of struggles and trials, you know, because when you're handicapped, people kind of give you a break. Well, now he won't be handicapped anymore. So start pulling your own weight, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Jesus sighs because they really didn't know what to pray for. So Jesus prays for them. He prays for them. God, don't just let me heal this man. Or rather, don't let him just have healing, but let him grow in the faith. And I suppose that after Jesus suffers and dies, because, I mean, how could they know what to pray for? Jesus hasn't even done what needs to be done, to do all things well.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, after he suffered, died, and rose again, and ascended into heaven, and Pentecost, then these men would be, I bet these were some of the first men to really believe in Jesus Christ, not just as a great healer, but as a Savior. If I could share with you one final thought then, Matt.
Yeah, John.
One more pass. Back to the Gospels.
Okay, here we go.
Matthew 26, verse 53.
Okay. Matthew 26, verse 53. Do you think that I cannot beg my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?
And I just wanted to conclude with that passage, going back to the term beg. You know, sometimes maybe we need to realize that we could beg God, we could ask for things, but maybe it's just as well that he doesn't answer those prayers. And certainly Jesus realized that what he needed to do, so he could do all things well, was not going to be easy. And he did. He wrestled with God. He said, hey, God, take this cup away from me, but not my will, thy will be done. So for anyone listening to us today that may be having some struggles and trials, my thought would be keep praying. Know that even if you're not getting the prayer right, the Holy Spirit is praying. Jesus is praying with sighs that are too deep for words. And the one thing you can be sure of, whatever God does, he's going to do because he loves you and cares for you, both in granting the prayers and also in making us wait for the answer to our prayers. This has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.